Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
One thing I do believe we could all agree on is that the NBA's return to the NBA on NBC is magical. It's just, they have done a stupendous job. Last night, I didn't see it coming, but they even brought back Bob Costas to do the voiceover to build up the history of the New York Knicks and the Milwaukee Bucks before we got the round ball rock song. Then you've got, and I didn't even know this was coming either, the added wrinkle that the Knicks players announce themselves like they do for Sunday Night Football, where you've got Jalen Brunson, point guard, Villanova.
Did they do that?
Yes.
Before on NBC?
No. That's new to me.
This is new to basketball.
Yes.
That's awesome.
That's taking a page from Sunday Night Football.
Well, so you just get the... Well, I know why football does it. Because guys are hidden behind helmets. So most of the players in the NFL, you don't know what the hell they look like. You know what their number is. You know what team they play for. But you don't know what they look like, per se. Basketball, you know exactly what every guy looks like.
Yeah.
So it's a creation of the NFL for necessity purposes, just so you get familiarity with players. But for basketball to do it is kind of cool.
It's cool, and I think what they're taking is something that we mostly enjoy from Sunday Night Football. Mm-hmm. Why not borrow? It's the same enterprise.
They've done it also with the Triple Crown horse races. They have the jockeys introduce themselves.
Oh, I thought you were going to say the horses do.
No, that would actually be funnier if like, he did that thing. But no, the jockeys do it. I don't know. I find it kind of cool when they do it there.
I like it. I loved it last night, watching the Knicks introduce themselves.
The only thing is, I think the NBA is the one sport you have to do this. Just, I am such a fan of just the arena intros, both home and away. I would rather it just give me that.
So they didn't do the road intros, but they did the home intro. And the home intro was so electric. You know, the lights go out, the fire is burning, the Bucks are announced. And here's a perfect example of how this works and how effective this is. So I have the game on my iPad, and I'm putting my son to sleep. He's going to sleep. But you know the way kids are. They don't want to go to sleep. Like, they're trying to make every distraction not to. So I'm watching the intro. I'm thinking Jet is sleeping. Mm. And all of a sudden, I hear, "What are you watching?" And I said, "Oh, I'm watching the Knicks-Bucks game." And he's like, "No, it's big. It's an event. What are you watching?" I said, "No, it's the Knicks-Bucks game." He's like, "But look at the lights and the fire. Like, it seems like a big event." Mm. And I said, "Yeah, they're trying to make it a big event, but they're just showing the player intros." And he's like, "Wow." So here's a kid who really didn't even know what I was watching, who noticed the bigness of it, the pageantry of it. And that, to me, is what NBC is doing so brilliantly.
Right.
They are turning a regular season game in late October that honestly doesn't mean much, and they're turning it into an event. And I think that's part of the brilliance of what they're doing, along with the nostalgia of the music and just everything, and the graphics and Bob Costas. It really is a 10 out of 10 production. I can't say enough for how good of a job they're doing.
Do you think you'll get used to it? I was going to say bored, but that's too harsh of a word. You think you'll get used to it and not appreciate it as much as the season goes on?
No, and I'll tell you why.
Why?
Because the other networks don't do it. Mm. Now, maybe they'll start doing it because I did notice, and I'm trying to remember what game it was because I've watched all the Nets and Knicks games so far. I think it was a Net game where they played the intros on one of the local broadcasts, either Yes or MSG.
Right, because they never do that.
They never do it.
It's just, hey, tip, first tip, or tip-off is now brought to you by blah, blah, blah. Let's go.
Yes. So I'm thinking networks locally and nationally may respond to what NBC is doing.
Interesting.
By saying we should do it too. Because it is really, really cool. I mean, I miss not having Clyde last night, but I thought, A, Jamal Crawford, who I didn't love on opening night, I thought he was a lot better. I think he's growing as a broadcaster. Reggie's Reggie. Mm. And I think what Reggie and Jamal did so well last night is that they crapped on Karl Anthony Towns, which I think Knicks fans enjoyed. They enjoyed hearing the heavy criticism of a player that they're mad at and is their whipping boy. Like, they get mad at him all the time. Sometimes deservedly so, sometimes not. Look, he had a bad night last night. There's no defending that. And he is a roller coaster. But I'll tell you this about Karl Anthony Towns. I truly believe this. He's hurt. He shouldn't be playing.
Yeah. Well, no, he definitely is hurt because he has the quad injury.
So why is he playing?
Even though at some points he looks like he's perfectly fine. And then other times he's not. So he's playing because what else are they going to do?
Bench him. It's the fourth game of the season. Let him get healthy. Why didn't Mitchell Robinson play last night?
Because Mitchell Robinson, I think, is more hurt than they want to acknowledge.
Maybe so, but if someone is hurt this early in the season, be smart about it.
Yeah.
There's no reason to be pushing Karl Anthony Towns four games into the season, especially with the way Knicks fans respond to him. Like, he is the new, every team has this, the guy on your team that, yes, he underperforms and you're mad at him, but the overreaction to his performances is just completely off the charts.
No, you know what it is? It's like Volpe was earlier in during the baseball season.
Yeah.
He became the guy that you were taking your ire out on.
Good or bad.
Good or bad, even if it wasn't always all his fault. We didn't know it at the time, but kind of like Karl Anthony Towns, he's hurt.
I think that Volpe's a good comp. But I also think A-Rod's a good comp because those two guys are so different in terms of their ability and their skill, but they both have the same reaction on sports talk radio and social media, which is just to over-crush that person's failures. But real quick before we get to your calls, we've mentioned this guy before, but I do need to mention it every once in a while. Doug B. on social media is the famous Knicks metal recaps guy.
Yeah,
this is the guy, Doug B., who writes, this is an AI, all right, so no one can get up on me for AI. This is a guy, he's a musician, who will write to a classic song, a Knicks song, recapping every game they play over the course of 82 games.
Yep. Find it on social media. I see it on Instagram every day.
At Doug Lost.
Every post game day.
Every post game day. And so sometimes I want to give Doug his due. I want the audience to be able to hear him, and then you can go follow him as well. Here is his musical recap to the Knicks' loss last night to the Milwaukee Bucks.
Rest of the game, only 8 points for Cat. Easy play if you pay. Minus 18 for Josh. OG shots kept getting loud. Somehow Kyle Kuzma had the pain on lock. Giannis took 800 steps. Let's be free. If you play for the Knicks, then Giannis get in your grill. At least JB's alright. Sending love to dudes we like this fire and fight. Rollins was 4-for-4 from 3. How is Mitch? Can we please get healthy? At least JB's alright.
Well done.
Even though he might not be all right because he's got a hamstring / groin injury going on right now.
What do you
now.
Think that injury was?
Because
even
know.
On the broadcast, they're like, is it a groin? Is it a hamstring? What is it?
It kind of is tied. This happens in almost every sport, especially football. Guys aren't used to change of direction as much. So you get out there and all of a sudden you got like a quad or a groin injury or something like that. But I think it's more groin because early season injuries are usually groin. You've trained enough. Run enough, you're in good enough shape, condition, that you shouldn't be getting fatigue injuries in your hamstrings.
Yeah.
Groins, I could see. So I hope it's a groin because, I mean, it should be pretty relatively quick.
He's a tough guy, though, man.
Right.
He didn't even come out of the game. Though the game flipped because when he got hurt with 6.5 minutes to go, he injured himself and turned the ball over to Giannis, and then he tied the game off of the injury. So it was a tie game with 6 minutes to go. From that point on, he had a turnover. And went 1-for-3 from the field.
Yeah.
Like, it was a very quiet final 6 minutes from Jalen Brunson. Not to put the game on him, but clearly he seemed bothered after he went down with that injury.
Definitely.
Let's get back to your calls. 888-808-1019, the number. Let's go to David in Maplewood, New Jersey. What's up, David?
Hey, guys. Good afternoon.
What's up?
Do they have no memory of Hart missing every three-pointer he shot? And he was shooting them last night. And,
yeah.
I mean, do they forget how bad of a three-point shooter he is?
You want him to stop taking threes?
Yeah, I do.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. P&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you have a dark curiosity? Heart Starts Pounding, Horrors, Hauntings, and Mysteries is a weekly podcast hosted by me, Kaylin Moore. Each week, I'll take you on a dark journey through terrifying true urban legends, bizarre true crime cases, chilling tales of backwoods horror, and more. So if you're looking to join a passionate community of the darkly curious, check out Heart Starts Pounding on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. And remember, stay curious.
That's a fair answer. Here's the thing. Josh Hart averages throughout his NBA career about three attempts per game, and that's pretty much what he's at right now. And this is a Knicks team, as we know, that are putting up a lot of threes. They got to the number 40 again last night. They got off to a really good start. They obviously were very cooled in the second half. But this is a team that's going to shoot a lot of threes. And while Josh Hart is certainly a very streaky shooter, we have seen that in his time here, he's not going to stop taking shots. In fact, normally when he does stop taking shots, Teague, is because he's gun shy because it gets into his head. Now, he's 1-for-9 from three to start the year, so he's not off to a good start, which usually means he's about to get gun shy.
Well, or he's hurt because he's got the finger injury that probably is going to need surgery at some point. So clearly it's affecting him. But I think the bigger issue with Josh Hart is that he doesn't feel like Josh Hart. Boston he did. That in the Boston game he felt like Josh Hart, but he hasn't felt like this run around, do everything catalyst that the Knicks count on him to be.
Let's go to Jason in the Bronx. What's up, Jason?
Hey, how you doing, fellas? I heard reiterate the conversation you guys had about getting Giannis.
Yeah.
I wouldn't get rid of Brunson. I'd send a package of Kat, McHale, and Deuce, and maybe a draft pick to get Giannis.
Yeah, they'd laugh at you, and they'd say no deal. That's the thing. I mean, Karl-Anthony Towns. And we could have a great discourse, I'm sure we will, over the next 6 months about him as a player. He's not interesting to Milwaukee.
Mm-hmm.
He's not going to be interesting to Milwaukee. Right. In fact, no one on the Knicks roster would be interesting to Milwaukee outside of your best player.
Right.
So, yeah, sure, this is what you would chip over. It's like making a fantasy trade in which you're like, I'll give you my backup shortstop, my backup third baseman, and a relief pitcher. Now give me Shohei Ohtani. That's basically the same thing.
Right. No thanks.
No thanks. Lawrence in Oklahoma City. What's up, Lawrence?
Hey, guys. Good to talk to you.
What's up, man?
I think all this Sidney Sweeney stuff going on is a little bit crazy because, you know what I'm saying? Like, there's a lot of married men that are calling up, man, and I'm married myself, and I love my wife. I would never call up to the fan and make a negative comparison about my wife in comparison to Sidney Sweeney. It's okay to appreciate another woman's beauty, but marriage is a sacrament, and it's a blessing. And it's not something that should be
Tommy,
that's all I got to say about
it. No, thank you, man. Tell me your response to that.
The caller before, Matt, I'm sure his wife is already mad at him. And Matt knows he shouldn't have made that comment about his, I'm assuming, lovely wife, that he would leave her for Sidney Sweeney.
I think
so I will speak for Matt.
What about you?
Well, he said callers. He didn't say anything about me.
What about you? You said
what about me?
Times.
I've said it a million times. I planted the flag. What more do you want me to tell you?
Well, he's saying that it's wrong that you do that. Do you have a response to him? He's a loyal caller, loyal listener. He's disappointed in you, Tommy. Do you have a response?
I'm joking. That's my response.
Oh. Okay.
What do you want me to say? Can we have a... Can you?
We are a radio show.
Yeah. Now, if Sidney Sweeney came calling, realistically, all right, well, think about it. But, I mean, I'm talking about one of the most famous people on the planet.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
So this is something Tommy has said for years. Jokingly or not, I don't know. It's up to him. That he would leave his wife for Sidney Sweeney. He said it many, many times.
Many times. I win the lotto, yeah.
Not a new bit. It's an old bit. He's done it a long time.
It's an old report.
Has your wife ever asked you about the things that you have said on the air in regards to this subject?
No, but I will say this. She has recently discovered the Odyssey app because she wants to know what time I'm getting home for dinner because it varies with the Lugauer. So... she listens a little bit more now.
So you don't, she may never have heard
like the other night I did the bit and she's like, oh, I was listening to you tonight. I go, well, which part? She goes, oh, you were talking about the Giants. I'm like, oh, thank God.
So what you're saying is she's never heard you say this.
Nah, I don't think she has any idea, dude. Maybe I brought it up to her. I'm sure she wouldn't be thrilled. Why would anybody?
She wouldn't be
thrilled. You know, I mean, I wouldn't be thrilled if it was the other end, but.
Would it be wrong for Sean or me or any of your other friends next time they're in the company of you and your wife to ask,
you'd be breaking... Go ahead.
That's what I'm asking. You're saying that's wrong.
You'd be breaking bro code there, I think.
No, that's why I'm asking.
Yeah, you'd be breaking bro code.
So don't do that, Sean. I know you were asking me about doing it. Don't do that.
I won't do that. But by the way, my wife would be thrilled if I told her I was leaving her for Sidney Sweeney.
I don't think Sidney Sweeney would be thrilled. But
she's got to clean the bathroom after you get out of it? Go ahead.
Does your wife know that you have this like crush on Sidney Sweeney?
I don't think she does, no.
Does she have a crush on some actor?
I'm sure she does.
You don't know?
I don't know that, though, to be...
See, I'm perfectly aware of who Tracy has a, like...
This, like her hall pass?
This, yes.
Yeah.
Can I guess?
Yeah, go ahead. You're never going to guess it.
Yeah, it's probably someone I've never heard of.
No, it's someone you've heard
Tom
of.
Tom Selleck.
No, even though he's...
Tom Selleck.
Chris Pine.
Good try, but no.
Chris Hemsworth.
Nope, you're wrong. All wrong. Jason Statham.
Jason Statham, really?
She loves her some Jason Statham.
So if that's...
But she knows I love Alicia Keys.
Alicia Keys is yours.
Oh, that's a good one. Alicia Keys.
Do you know about me and Alicia Keys?
Do not.
Should I even say it or not really?
No, you can.
I once serenaded her with Build Me Up Buttercup by the Foundations.
Nice.
Yeah.
How did she respond?
She laughed. She cracked up. She thought it was the funniest thing ever. She's like, what a cute little child this man boy is.
Loser.
Yeah. There's a lot of that. There's a lot of that going on. Let's go to Mario in Long Beach. What's up, Mario?
Hey, how you doing, guys? Good show, as always.
Thank you.
Okay, I got 2 points on Giannis, and then why I want to revisit that trade the guy just talked about, why I think it would work. First of all, the first thing about Giannis, the guy was talking about free throws. Does he realize that in the NBA Finals, when he scored 50 points and they won in Game 6, he was 17 for 19 from the line?
Yeah.
So he does shoot well in clutch situations.
He's at his moments. He's at his moments of being able to do it, even if throughout the course of a long season, there are days in which he's a mess. You're right about that.
Exactly, exactly. And the second thing, do you know what he's done the last 2 years in the NBA that nobody else has?
Go.
And it's incredible numbers. You have an idea?
No, tell us.
Okay. How about 30 points a game, 60% shooting? The floor.
Yeah,
nobody's done that once, and he's done it 2 years in a row. Now, revisiting that trade real quick, I think that trade, you got to look at it a little closer. And Tiki, tell me what you think, because you're very objective with this, right?
Uh-huh.
You look at Cat, I don't know why he gets beat up so much. Is he a superstar? No, he is a solid all-star. He started for the East last year in the center position, right? He's one of the greatest shooters ever. How about 24 points, 12 rebounds, second in the league in rebounding? Now you look at McBride. He's on his third year. Next year he's going to make $3 million.
What's the point you're making that would be an appealing return for Giannis? Is that really the point you're making?
Let me tell you, Kat and Giannis' salary match. So I'm looking at this financially.
I know, but Mario, yeah. Here's the part you're losing us on and losing everyone on. If the Knicks announce tomorrow, not publicly but privately, we're going to ship out Karl Anthony Towns, which comes along with his contract and comes along with the really good and the really bad, what do you think they're getting for him? And that answer is all you need to know.
Right.
He's a fine player. I don't think he's a loser the way some describe. I don't think he's a losing player. I think he's a roller coaster.
Right.
I think there are lots of ups and there are lots of downs. I don't think he can be the best player on a championship team. But even with that, if you start trading him with the salary he's due now and due over the next 2 years, your return on him is limited. So to think that that's going to be enough to get the other player that you described who's won three MVPs and in the last 5 years is like top five basically every year, that's delusional.
Yeah, and the other thing you're not even taking into account is who's going to want Karl Anthony Towns? Do the Bucks want Karl Anthony Towns?
No, it would be another team.
Exactly, 100%. And so now you complicate it another step. So it gets harder and harder and harder to make that kind of direct deal work. I don't think it would work.
No, it would not. We'll get back to your phone calls. Plus, a couple of days ago, our colleague, more so Tiki's colleague, but WFAN's Carl Banks was very critical of Dexter Lawrence. Dexter Lawrence has responded. Been waiting 2 days for this. 2 days I've been waiting. 7 to Tiki on the Fan. Carl Banks, the great Carl Banks, who does the analysis with Bob Papa for every Giant game right here on WFAN, had some very critical comments of Dexter Lawrence. And you knew, okay, a few days later, Dexter will be asked about these comments, and it'll be interesting to see how he handles it. Before we take a listen to Dexter Lawrence's response, if you missed it or you need a reminder, here is the biting criticism from Carl Banks about Dexter Lawrence on the Believe podcast. The
Believe in Giants
podcast. The Believe in Giants podcast.
Dexter Lawrence, nobody respects you anymore. Nobody. Your opponents do not. The pre-injury Dexter is not there in their heads. They don't respect you. And there's a difference. You're on the field. They're blocking you with a 9-year backup center. You're not making a difference. The old Dexter would. Okay? There are a lot of things that go into your performance. Only you know what that is, whether you're still recovering or not. I'm just telling you now, I'm looking at enough tape to know that your opponents don't respect you. Not like they used to. And here's the thing. When Darius Alexander gets in the game, when Roy Robinson gets in the game and they substitute for you, those guys
DJ Davidson.
Those guys are making plays against the same guys that are blocking you. I'm going to just say this. Again, I don't know the circumstances. It's time for you to start expecting more of yourself. I don't know if you're injured. I don't know if you've fully recovered. But it's time to start asking more of yourself because they don't respect you.
Damn. That's some biting criticism from Carl Banks. So you knew once Dexter Lawrence was able to meet the media, it would be brought to his attention. Now, how would you handle this if this was said about you? You're playing. I'm trying to think of the former Phil Sims, you know, because he was an analyst at the time.
Yep.
Phil Sims is like, I'll try his accent. Tiki Barber, you should be embarrassed. Tiki, they don't respect you. So you hear it. Right. You're also a very self-critical guy, so you'd probably be like, let me see what he's saying, blah, blah, blah. Right. Now the media says, hey, what do you think of Phil Sims and what he said about you? What road would you take?
I would say, Phil's right. I got to be better.
You think Dexter did that?
No. Today's athlete doesn't do that. They're not self-critical. They want to fight. They grew up in a social media world where you go tit for tat back with people on social media.
So that's your assumption?
That's going to be my assumption.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, here it is. Set it up, Sean, if it needs setup, because Dexter was asked about this. Go ahead.
Okay, so you're going to hear one clip and then a second clip with a follow-up. The first clip is just simply your response to Carl Banks.
All right, let's hear it.
I don't really know what he's watching, but hey. He can say what he wants. I'm going to keep doing what I'm doing, trying to help us get a win. That's it.
When you hear something like that, is that more of a motivator for you? Or?
Nah, but if people listen to him, let's say this. I hope people start trying to disrespect me. Let's say that.
I actually like that response.
Well, he wasn't done, Tiki. Our own Connor Hughes kept pressing him.
Okay.
Were you surprised that Carl chose to air those criticisms of your game the way that he did on the podcast as opposed to coming in here or seeking out in the building to talk to you?
Yeah, those are strong words, but that's how you feel.
Does it mean more to you that, does it mean more, those words mean more that they're coming from him?
No.
Like a giant legend?
No.
No?
No.
Why not?
He's delusional. No.
I thought it was going well till the end.
He's delusional.
He's delusional. It doesn't mean anything that it's coming from him. He's delusional. So is that what you expected?
No, but whatever. Just play well.
No,
at the end of the day, that's what it comes down to.
At the end of the day, you're right. Just play well.
Right. If you don't give them anything to criticize, then it's all, you know what, and giggles. So just play well. That's all it comes down to.
You're 1,000% right. The answer to any problem is just play better. Mm-hmm. 1,000%. I think the problem he runs into is, if I'm a Giant fan, or even not, I'm as an IFO listening to this, it's perceived that Dexter Lawrence thinks he's playing great and that there is no issue.
Mm.
And so that's why acknowledgement, even if you don't fully agree with what Carl said,
right,
like, yeah, I'm not having a great year. I got to be better. I don't agree with his assessment. Blah,
yeah.
Blah, blah.
Yeah. In Carl's defense, he's looking at what deep offenses are doing to Dexter Lawrence, and that is not double teaming him as much as they used to.
Right.
They still do double team him every here and there. But it's not like you used to see it. So it just, Carl is taking that as a, we can handle Dex with one-on-one block.
Right. And that's where it comes to, they don't respect you.
Yes.
If they believed you were the old sexy Dexy,
yes,
there would be as frequent a double team as you're used to.
Yeah, you'd be double team every play.
Interesting. As a Giant fan, how do you respond to this response, Sean?
I think two things were accomplished here. Number one, I hope Dexter Lawrence comes out even more motivated than ever. Maybe mm-hmm. Carl Banks stoked some flames. And second of all, I'm pumped up that Carl Banks, you know, called this out, because maybe Dexter Lawrence is the one that's a little delusional and he needs to go home and pressed on it. So I think Dexter Lawrence handled himself awesome, and I think Carl Banks was right to go do it. I actually think it's a win-win for the Giants. I love this. We need a little feistiness.
Yeah, I don't see why there's bad.
There's nothing bad about it.
Right. It's just,
I want the player to want more out of himself and feel like, you know, he's being pressed a little bit.
Yeah.
But he's also not really.
And who cares? Carl Banks hasn't played in 40 years.
Right.
So, like,
right.
What does it even mean?
No, he never. He didn't grow up even watching him play.
30 years. How long has Carl been retired?
93, I think, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, so you're talking 30 years.
It also means Dexter wasn't born.
Yes.
So, like, to Carl Banks, to Dexter Lawrence, I was saying this the other day about the NBA on NBC. To a lot of the active players, it's a story. They never actually watched the NBA on NBC. Mm-hmm. Carl Banks is a story. Even to some of the players now, you're right. A story. It's right. Like, oh, yeah, that guy played. They didn't grow up watching you
play. Of course
play.
Not. They were 4 years old when I was playing football.
My only issue would be, do you take out of this Dexter Lawrence not even realizing that he's having a subpar year? Because that's the thing he should realize.
Yeah, but
do you think he really doesn't realize that?
Based on that answer? I don't know.
But
I'm just basing it on the answer,
but that's
Sean.
An answer to the media. When he puts his head on the pillow and goes and watches tape more than we could even imagine, I mean, well, Tiki would know.
Yeah.
You're telling me that Dexter Lawrence doesn't think he's not having the same year he typically does. He knows it.
But I also think that there's an excuse. And the thing that you have to, as an athlete, fight against is letting someone else make an excuse for you. So
true.
The excuses are always there, but you can't accept it. You just... That's not a reason why I'm playing poorly. When I was going through my fumbling things, it was always like, oh, you're not focused on this. You're just trying to make too big of a play. No, don't make an excuse for me.
Right.
You fumbled the ball. Right? It is what it is. I don't need an excuse. You know that you did it wrong. And so you just can't accept excuses.
Well, there is another piece of audio. This is still going on, apparently, about Dexter Lawrence wanting to call out those that are watching the tape and saying that he's not getting the attention.
All right, let's hear that.
All right.
The lack of respect, I think, is based on the amount of attention you're getting, I would guess, double teams and things. Do you see that it has not changed at all in the last, you know, this year, last year?
Good question by Paul Schwartz.
About the attention that the opposing offensive lines are giving, as far as, you know, double teams and things like that.
Y'all ask questions like y'all don't watch film.
No, I'm asking you.
Like, yes, I get a lot of attention.
Right. Because when Carl said they're not respecting you, he's talking about not respecting you by double teaming you. Like
I get a lot of attention.
What's the best
check
way?
Check the numbers.
What's like the best way to put
check those
comments?
Numbers.
Well, okay. Can I ask a follow-up to you?
Yeah.
Because I'm not going to sit here and lie. I'm not watching Giant tape. Dexter's right. If he called me out on that and said, you're not watching the tape, you're damn right I'm not watching the tape. You watch a lot of tape. Even Sean watches a lot of tape.
Mm-hmm.
So as the tape watchers, Can you just tell us, is he seeing the same amount of double teams as he's seen in the past?
Well,
Who's right?
Let's do it in real time. Let's just look at it.
Can you do that, like as a whole science experiment?
Oh, yeah. I'll do it in the next break.
Look at that. See, that's what I'm talking about, because when Dexter says that, like, my response is, I don't know. I'm being honest with you. I'm watching every Giant game. I don't know if he's seeing fewer, less, the same, more double teams. Carl says it, and so you trust that Carl's watching the tape, but I've also learned that not everybody's perfect.
Okay, play one, single block.
One for one. Now, but before you continue, do you know how much he saw last year or the year before that?
I mean, it was almost every play.
It was every play.
I remember the Dallas game where they tried to prop up the Dallas offense, the center. I think it was a rookie center last year. And you might have checked that. It might have been 2 years ago. And they said, oh, he did a great job. He had a perfect pass blocking grade against Dexter Lawrence. And maybe he did, according to PFF, but he got help on every single play.
Right, right.
And it's the rookie center was calling for help. Like, give me the hand. Like, the guard is now helping. Even though he's not helping you block, he's got a presence there. So if the center gets beat, the guard is right there protecting him. So there was a lot of attention paid to him last year.
This is obviously not going to be exact, but this is what the stats tell you. Last year, he faced a double team rate of 74.5%. So almost three out of every four of his snaps, he was double teamed last year. Yes. That's what the stats.
That's
tell
last
you.
Year.
Last season. I want to say that because you want to say in comparison. That's
right. Now I'm looking at game. The second play of the game. This was Saquon Barkley's 65-yard touchdown.
Yes,
he is also single block.
Wow.
As a three technique on the guard.
So a two for two on no double teams.
Yes.
So I have a feeling the data is going to show us that Dexter's wrong. But this is the beauty.
Again, I'll go through it in the break.
Yeah, and Tink will give us a firm answer, because when he says something like that, hey, you don't watch the tape. Now, I don't know if Paul Schwartz is watching the tape. Maybe he is.
I don't think Paul was trying to say he was watching the tape. He was just clarifying what
Carl
Banks was saying.
Right. And what I'm saying is, when Dexter responds by saying, do you watch the tape? I know if I'm standing there, I'd say, you got me, because I'm not. Now, maybe if I was covering the Giants or a diehard Giant fan, I'd watch the tape and I'd have a different answer. But he's got me on that, because the honest truth is, I don't know. Right. I don't think any of us know.
Play four, he's doubled.
What about play three? You skipped play three.
Three, it was a gap scheme, so it wasn't part of the play.
So we'll throw that one out there.
You got to throw that one out.
So two out of three, no double teams. That means math-wise, he's only been double teamed 33% of the time.
Yes.
Last year, it was 75% of the time. We'll give you a firm answer as the show rolls on.
Honestly, regardless, we still end up in the same avenue. Whether he's facing less or more doesn't matter. He's not being as dominant. Period.
No question. True. And that you could tell from the eye test.
Right. So you can't roll your eyes at the media and anybody and go, what is he watching? What we're watching is not the same you that we've seen the last couple
of years. Here's the bottom line. And Tiki, you have said this a million times, so I apologize for stealing your bit, even though you say it, but it's true. Athletes today are mostly very sensitive. And I think Dexter Lawrence was very sensitive to the biting criticism that came at the hands of Carl Banks. Just like players are sensitive when you have biting criticism.
Mm-hmm. Bunch of bitches.
And your criticism and Carl's criticism, right or wrong, comes from a genuine place of, this is what I'm seeing. Now, you're not perfect, he's not perfect, but your criticism is just what you think.
Right.
You're a paid analyst. And I think that a lot of athletes are like, screw you. What the hell do you know? You played in the Stone Age. And so the proper response is, hey, I respect Carl, or hey, I respect Tiki. Right. I disagree. Maybe I'll talk to him another time. But instead, the response tends to be like, screw you. You don't know what you're looking at. Mm-hmm. You're an idiot.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you have a dark curiosity? Follow and listen to Heart Starts Pounding on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And that's probably not the best response.
No, because it furthers the conversation.
I think
instead of making it go away.
What Dexter Lawrence should do is what Saquon Barkley apparently wanted to do to you, which I am still so confused by. Saquon Barkley revealed in his documentary, I'm not even sure if you know this, that when you had criticized, rightfully so, his blocking skills,
right,
he wanted, as a way to, like, I don't know, send a message to you, he was going to wear a Tiki Barber jersey to the game. So what Dexter should do, he could ask Sal. Sal take got an extra one.
Take that for data.
Right.
That's what he wanted to do.
Pretty much. I think that it's Dexter 50, Lawrence.
It's now 50-50.
50-50? Okay.
I'm seven plays in.
Dexter Lawrence should wear a Carl Banks jersey to Giants Niners on Sunday. There you go.
That would be dope.
That's dope. Because I'm not even sure if you're ripping him. You're probably honoring him. But yes, that's what he should do. That's my vote.
You know what he can? Because it's a legacy game, too. So he could wear the old Banks jersey.
It's a legacy game?
Yeah. The old uniforms, the old field, the whole thing. Giants, Niners getting that touch.
I'm very excited. I'm going to this game, TV.
Matt Barr might be ringing the bell. Away we go.
I can't wait. This is my first Giants regular season game since 2004. I have not been to a Giants regular season game in 21 years, and I'm going simply to sit with Sean Morash because I think it's an honor to sit with a crazy Giant fan and secretly record him the entire game. And you know what we're also going to do? Count how many times Dexter Lawrence is seeing a double team.
Oh, we'll have the old 22 view because my nose is going to be bleeding based on the seats we have.
Dude, don't crap on the seats. We're sitting in the 300s. It's 50-yard line, and I'm bringing a clipboard, and you think I'm kidding. I'm freaking writing down how many times Sexy Dexy's doubled, yeah?
You're charting next to me?
I'm charting the game.
What if I spill a tall boy on you or something?
Well, luckily, it's not a scorebook that I cherish. It's just literally me charting a Giants-Niners game on a Sunday afternoon.
Are you putting on the eye black with me? Do I have to bring a few?
No. Why am I putting eye black on?
We do the Jackson Dart eye black at games.
No, I'm an IFO, bro.
Yeah, but you don't have to wear a uniform. You do the eye black.
I'm not putting the eye black on.
Why not?
Because I'm not a Giants fan.
What if I told you I'm not coming unless you put the eye black on?
Did I pay for the ticket?
You did.
It's on me. I'm even going to buy you a hamburger, okay?
I don't eat hamburgers.
What do you eat then? A hot dog?
Yeah, chicken fingers.
Okay, I'll buy you a chicken finger. Don't threaten me now with I'm not going.
Just put on the eye black. Be a man.
I'm not putting the eye black on. I'm not a Jackson Dart fan. What do you want me to do? Make believe I'm something I'm not?
What did Jackson Dart do to you? You're not a Jackson Dart fan.
He did nothing to me.
You just said you're not a Jackson Dart fan. Why?
Because I'm not a Giants fan. I'm a baby.
You can't be a Jackson Dart fan.
I'm going there to watch football.
Are you going to tell Jackson Dart you're not a fan of his next year training camp?
I told him that this past year. I said, I'm a Jet fan. And his response was, I'll try to change that. And I'm like, good luck, pal. Do you don't remember that exchange?
Yeah, but you didn't tell me you're not a fan of him personally.
I'm not a fan of him personally. I'm just not a fan of him.
If you're not a fan of him personally, just wear the eye black.
I'm not wearing the eye black.
You're wearing the eye black.
You're bullying me right now.
I know.
I don't appreciate it. Let's go to John and Maspeth. What's up, John?
Yeah, Evan, so I heard you guys talking about hall passes before, and I got a little suggestion for yours.
Yeah?
All right? So think of it. You go out on a little date, get back to the hotel, have a little adult fun, open up the DVR, take out your scorebook with none other than Front Row Amy, and you guys just score the game together.
I'm a loser.
What better time?
First of all, for anyone who doesn't know who Front Row Amy is, and she is always brought up to me because she is the lady who goes to every Brewers game and scores the game sitting in the front row in a scantily clad outfit. And I can't tell you, every time there's a Brewer game on national television or the Mets are playing the Brewers or the Yankees are playing the Brewers, I always get, who's that? What's that person doing? Look, she's a red-blooded American who likes to score baseball games.
Nevertheless,
which, by the way, I did last night.
I'm a loser.
I scored last night's game. And it wasn't quite an 18-inning classic, but I felt good scoring it, to say the least.
The NFL trade deadline locally has begun.
Yeah, we got a trade?
We do have a trade.
Does it involve the Giants or the Jets?
Yes.
Does it involve the Giants?
No.
Does it involve the Jets?
Yes.
Did we buy something or sell something?
Both.
What?
Both.
It's a Jet-Eagle trade.
A Jets-Eagles trade.
Wow.
Okay.
Go ahead.
All right. The Jets are sending what used to be an awesome nickel corner, Michael Carter, who's since lost his job.
We're trading Michael Carter.
Michael Carter.
The second.
And a 2027 seventh round pick to the Eagles for wide receiver John Mechie and a 2027 sixth round pick. So you get a receiver.
How about that? All right. I don't mind that. I mean, the receivers
came out of school as a stud. Kick returner, Alabama. What happened early in his career?
He went to Houston, I believe, and just kind of fell behind in their depth chart.
Something happened, I feel.
Did he get hurt?
I feel like something happened with John Mechie. Because it never took off for him. And I felt like watching him in college, he was going to be a stud. But it never kind of came to fruition. And so now he's bouncing around a little bit. But he was a really good player in college.
But what about now? Is he going to help my football team?
Well, I mean, I don't know.
I don't care what he did in college. What, is he going to help my team?
Well, you guys are deep now with a lot of similar-looking guys. Isaiah Williams.
Who had a wonderful
Tyler
week.
Tyler Johnson.
Got the Special Teams Player of the Week award,
John
Isaiah
Mechie,
Williams.
They're kind of the same. Body type. They're
gotcha.
Built the same
your
way.
Tiki, I found what you were talking about. He sat out his rookie year because he was diagnosed with an acute form
That's
of
right.
leukemia.
That's right. Oh, geez. That's right. That's exactly right.
Wow.
Yeah, so he's a miracle in a way.
Oh, there you go. So Michael Carter goes back to Joe Douglas because Joe Douglas is working with the Philadelphia Eagles.
Right.
And what's the draft pick thing? What's the swap?
Okay, the Jets are sending a seventh with Carter and getting a sixth with Mechie.
There you go. Huh, so nice. They move up around in the draft to add a receiver to the receiving room. They move off of Michael Carter, who's basically lost his role here. Mm-hmm. And so now the New York Jets have no more Michael Carters.
Yes.
There was a time in which they had two Michael Carters, and now we're down to zero.
And now they have some depth in their wide receiver room after the good play by Tyler Johnson, Isaiah Williams last week, and now you have John Mechie.
Yes.
Sports Talk on WFAN is presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today.
Vinny's in Brooklyn. What's up, Vinny?
What's up, guys? Love the show. Evan, I love you, but I got a bone to pick with you as a Knicks fan.
Go ahead.
I know what you're doing. I know you're the leader of the coalition, and you're trying to destroy us. This is what you're trying to do.
How am I trying to destroy you? What do I do?
Let me paint a scenario for you.
Go.
Okay, it's late May, 2027. Giannis is a Knick. We just lost a tough series in the Eastern Conference Finals. Let's say the Celtics, Tatum's back. And then Giannis sits in front of the media and says, there's no such thing as failure. There's no such thing. Everything's fine. How do you think the New York media and these crazy Knicks fans, and I'm one of them, how do you think we're going to take that? Everybody would hate that.
You would viciously turn on him. There's no question. But there's two parts to this. The part I will ask you is, would you want Giannis Antetokounmpo on the New York Knicks, yes or no?
Not for Jalen Brunson.
Okay,
no way.
Fine. You don't want to trade Jalen Brunson. You're emotionally attached to him. Fine. They're never going to do it either. I'll tell you that right now. I mean, this front office would never do it. But if Giannis ever ends up here, which is his preferred destination if he ever gets moved, he will be a guy, much like you've already done with Karl-Anthony Towns, who you will turn on quickly, not because he's a hateable guy, but because when you come here with expectations, when you come here with you better win an NBA championship or a World Series championship or a Super Bowl championship, and you don't do it, you're going to take heat. And what our last caller, Vinny, is referring to is that after the Bucks got knocked out 2 years ago, instead of Giannis saying, I'm pissed, I'm angry, I can't wait to come back and prove this was a fluke, he basically talked about, failure. Is it really a failure? I don't know. Things happen. And he's right. That would not go over well here. But I'm not thinking about that.
Right.
I'm thinking about the fact here is a great player, and he is a top three player in the sport currently, who is in your conference, who rumors leaked out a month and a half ago would want to come here. And it's more about that than it is how it would eventually blow up. That's three steps away. I'm not thinking about three steps away. I'm not thinking about what he's going to say at a press conference in 2027 to say, hey, we lost in the Eastern Conference Finals. Here's how. He is a great player. And I think to varying degrees, every Knicks fan knows they would love to add him to the team.
Mm-hmm. It's just whether or not that is feasible or it's viable to happen. Because what are you giving up to get him?
I have to play you something. And I want you to be honest with me.
It's well over 50%, by the way, double teams production.
You're seeing so more far. Than 50%?
Yeah.
But not quite 75%.
Not quite 75. I'm in the third quarter now.
I have to play something that I don't know if anyone caught last night. This was during the World Series game between the Los Angeles Dodgers and the Toronto Blue Jays. Joe Davis was doing an infomercial for Shohei Ohtani. I mean, it was just, I don't know if anyone noticed this, it was just constant, like, you know, Shohei and his college coach and his high school coach, and then he went to the bathroom this one time, and this happened, and that happened. Like, it was an endless infomercial for Shohei Ohtani. And then Joe Davis said something about Shohei, and you could, at least I could. I could tell that Joe felt weird that he said it, because he knows he shouldn't have said it. So I want to play it for you. I don't think anyone caught it. Tommy's the only one who heard this. Tommy, did you think what I was thinking when I sent this to you?
Poor choice of words.
Poor choice of words. And you could hear in Joe Davis's voice, he almost wanted to take it back. Here is Joe Davis talking about Shohei Ohtani last night during the World Series.
But if there's anything that baseball fans are starting to learn, it is don't bet against anything when it comes to this guy showing up, doing stuff that we've not seen done.
No!
Doesn't seem like you should be able to do.
It sounds like in the middle of it, he's like, I shouldn't have said
that. He had two pregnant pauses there where he's like, think of something quick, think of something quick.
How do I shift off to something that sounds more innocuous? How do I do this?
Damn it. Andrew Friedman warned me.
I'm stuck.
Don't bring this up. The consortium said never mention this ever again. How do I get out of this? But as soon as he said bet, oh, man, I sat there with my scorecard and I wrote it down.
Well, also, too, what's going on with the NBA right now. Like, forget Ohtani with the interpreter. It's like, bro, wouldn't you have that down in your notes? Don't do any betting puns. Learn from the FBI.
I think it's...
I mean, he sounded like...
In defense of, like, most broadcasters, I think you could still say it. Like, it's a regular phrase.
Yeah.
But I think when it comes to Ohtani, whether Joe Davis wants to admit this or not, or Fox wants to admit this or not, it is still on people's minds. Like, it may not be talked about by them. Like, they may not bring it up. They may never bring it up on a broadcast. They may make believe that we're in Men in Black and they put that thing above our face where we forget everything that ever happened.
The neuralizer?
Yeah. Is that what it's called?
I think so.
Okay.
Yeah, that sounds right.
But I'm telling you, a good 25% of the audience is sitting there thinking about Ohtani gambling, interpreter gambling, bets, interpreter gambling, Ohtani. Fair enough. Because I don't even think it's fair, but it's connected. So when Joe said bet, I cracked up. That made me laugh. That made me smile quite a bit. There's
don't
a few
bet
other
against anything.
Don't bet against it. Don't bet against.
Don't bet against anything.
Chris in Bayshore, what's up, Chris?
Yeah, hey guys. I thought the same thing last night, Evan. But then I realized that I think he's the play-by-play guy for the Dodgers, right?
So he is. Yeah, you can't tell by his loving every good thing the Dodgers do and downplaying everything the Blue Jays do. I mean, my God,
right.
Joe Davis trying to hide it, bro.
Right. He brings Homer to a new level. Oh. I think even. Doing the national broadcast, but the reason I called was about Dable. I've called and I've been very critical of him, and I really thought that at Sunday's press conference he sounded like a totally different coach. And I was wondering if you thought that it might have had something to do with him getting his wrist slapped with the fine with the tenth, or whether it was just he was just kind of resigned to the fact that he lost two of his skill players and he's doing the best with what he has.
You talking about the criticizing of the referees, Chris?
No, just in general, his demeanor, the way he answered the questions, he seemed like a different guy. He seemed much more...
Yeah, like resigned. Resigned.
Yeah, and much more tolerant, and he answered questions. He just seemed like he had a lot less anger, and he just seemed different.
Yeah, I think that was... I mean, this Eagle game was interesting because I don't think they were ever going to win this game. It was tough haul in Philly against a team that you had just beaten a few weeks ago. But they also got worked over by the referees multiple times in this game. And it stole whatever, I don't know, momentum. It's the wrong word, but it's the one I've used, that they might have been able to have at critical moments.
Right.
Right. The fumble and the sneak on the tush push, the false start on Jordan Mailata that they just said was offsides by Kayvon Thibodeau. Obviously, the interference, that was down. It was later. It didn't matter. But it just felt draining because it felt like you're fighting the Eagles, but you're also fighting the officials. And I don't know. I'm trying to think. Did any of them go against the Eagles? Any of those moments? I don't think so.
Well, that was what was so strange. The answer is no.
Yeah.
Yet the broadcast kept saying the officials are bad for both teams.
There was one moment that was stupid.
Which one?
The whistle on the field goal.
Yes.
Oh, the whistle at the beginning on the field goal. Oh, the only one that went against was the fumble, but that was reviewed. The sack fumble that was a forward pass.
Right. No, he means the field goal, that the missed field goal appeared to have a whistle blown in the middle of the play.
Yeah.
And so Nick Sirianni was complaining, hey, what the hell was that whistle? And the rules guy, whatever his name, Dean Blandino,
yeah,
said, yeah, if there's an inadvertent whistle, they get to do it again, get a re-kick. And so that is one where I would agree was probably a weird, iffy one that went against Philly. But outside of that,
yeah,
no.
But most of the on-field calls were against the Giants, so it just felt draining.
Yeah, I think to his point about Daboll being different, I think it's because they got their ass kicked.
Yeah.
You know, yes, there were things he was pissed off about, and he didn't want to get fined with the officials. There's no question about that. I don't think he wanted to deal with that after being fined with the whole medical tent situation. Mm-hmm. But I think a lot of it is they just got their butts kicked.
Right.
He's meeting the media. He's not exactly the happiest guy in the world.
And if it's a close game, you have excuses for that.
Right.
And you don't want to talk about those specific moments, like in the Denver game, because it could have cost you the game, and it was your fault, not somebody else's fault.
Woody Johnson said what he said about Justin Fields last week. Now it is coming out that Woody Johnson has said other weird things to former Jet quarterbacks.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you have a dark curiosity? Heart Starts Pounding, Horrors, Hauntings, and Mysteries is a weekly podcast hosted by me, Kaylin Moore. Each week, I'll take you on a dark journey through terrifying true urban legends, bizarre true crime cases, chilling tales of backwoods horror, and more. So if you're looking to join a passionate community of the darkly curious, check out Heart Starts Pounding on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. And remember, stay curious.